Open lines now this hour here on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, one of the things I wanted to talk with you about, things that go missing. Where in the heck do they go? I've got to tell you this story. This is weird. So we're in Denver once a month, and we have a driver there. His name is Rob. He picks us up at the airport. He brings us to the hotel. He takes us around. He picks us up. He takes us back to the airport, and that's it. And then he sends us an invoice every month. And every month we send him a check. Well, this month I wrote him out his check. I had the letter with another envelope, put it in the car, and was on my way to the post office. I had it in the back. I had my suit in the back of the car on the little hook because I had to do a special taping. And I stopped at a stop sign, and the suit fell off the hook. No big deal. And the envelope went flying. But everything's in the car. I stopped and I got to the post office, opened up the door to get the envelopes to mail them, right? The big envelope is there. The suit was on the seat. I hooked it back up. Could not find the smaller business size envelope to mail to the limo driver. Could not find it. I know it was there. I put it there. I saw it. I checked under the car, under the seats, in the crevices. It was not there. I looked behind the seats. It was not there. I tore it apart again today. This was like a week ago. Can't find it anywhere. Looked in the garage. It's not there. It's nowhere. It is literally gone. I've never seen anything like it this before. So one of the things I want to talk with you about is missing objects. Have they ever disappeared on you? Check in with us as well. Okay, welcome back to the open line portion of Coast to Coast AM. And let us go to the calls. Tampa, Florida. Gary, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Gary. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, George. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I just got a couple quick questions for you. The show with the gentleman from Penlight Incorporated on the Bible code.
Yes.
Where he was going to look at doing a search on power grid failure. I wanted to see if there's ever any feedback on that. And the search he did for you when you showed up, can you kind of just give us a little context on what it said about you? And
sure.
Once again, Coast to Coast is great. Keep doing what you're doing, George.
You got it. Power grid, nothing has come up on that yet. He did send me 4 to 5 different sections where my name came up. It talked about being broadcaster, my name, Coast to Coast. It was just, it was weird. Truly, I'm in the Torah somewhere, and they're baffled by it, quite frankly. But there's got to be a reason for it. That they don't know. They can't exactly interpret what things mean other than the fact that I am in there. And then they sent me this huge chart of the Torah, of these sections, where they showed you, hey, there's your name right there, and there's this, there's that. It's really, really strange. Let's go to Flagstaff, Arizona. First-time caller, Carlos, on Coast to Coast. Hello, Carlos. Thanks for calling.
Yes, sir. Two stories, a missing object story, and I saw a demon story.
Okay.
But the missing object story, basically, it was a wallet. We were on the way to my daughter's ballet class, coming back home, and the wallet turned up missing. We couldn't find it. So my wife canceled all the credit cards, and she called me about 3 days later as a cook on a submarine, and she was freaking out, saying, you know, I found the wallet, but... And it turned out she was talking to her mother, and there's a recipe box next to the computer. She walked into the kitchen, came back out, and the wallet was sitting on the recipe box.
Weird. Were all the credit cards in the wallet?
Everything was there, and there was a dollar folded neatly in the wallet, kind of sticking out.
Strange.
And from studying and looking into things, demons can move large objects, and ghosts can just move small objects. So thinking maybe it was just a ghost, when you first moved into the house,
yeah,
there was a pentagram or a pentacle in the water closet, whatever you call it, outside, water heater, whatever, with a picture of 3 girls. I think somebody invited somebody into the house because they were messing with something they shouldn't, because other things would happen. The lights would burn out all the time. My wife was always changing the light bulbs. And things would whisper, or it happened to her and it happened to me. Something would whisper to us when we were trying to sleep. Yeah. And my wife was putting my daughter to sleep, and the covers pulled tight over her to the point where she couldn't move.
Jeez, that's scary.
And
but,
then,
but the missing the missing objects—that's bizarre, isn't it?
For the most part, we just decided to see it as a positive thing, not a negative thing. That way, we wouldn't give credence, or do you call it, to if it was something bad. So I mean, it gave us a dollar. So, but and I saw a demon story. My mid-20s, living in Georgia, I was in the submarine Navy. I was by myself, being stubborn, not someone to live out in town on E4 salary. And I was looking into different religions, which one I wanted to be. I had a satanic Bible under the bed. I was studying Wicca. And but I was also going to a Pearson church. And I shut all the doors. And I was in the process of reading Robert A. Monroe's Journeys Out of the Body. And I looked into the mirror across the bed, and I said, if there's anything here, help me have an out-of-body experience. And I didn't know at the time that that was a direct invitation for something to come into the room. And I didn't know what I was.
Sure was.
Something stupid. I had no idea. So I laid down, and I woke up about, it was about 4 o'clock. I woke up about an hour later, and there was something there. And I screamed, bloody murder. Like, I screamed, like, you know, God help me and all this stuff. And there was a black mist at the foot of my bed. That's why I woke up, because it was there. And it was cold, it was wet, it was evil, and it just scared me to death. And it was the question I guess I had to ask, wanted to ask Craig, was, it had diodes of light to it. I thought that was kind of odd. It was like a little miniature spinning galaxy, basically, and it was blacker than black.
Huh.
And it was moving from left to right. I've heard that demons move from left to right when they're coming to say hi. And I don't know what it would have done if it reached me, but it scared the living crap out of me. I stayed out of my apartment for a couple of days. I got some Christian friends together. We went back to the apartment and prayed, and I didn't have any problems after that.
Well, sometimes prayer helps with things like that. But, you know, the missing wallet and then having it back with a folded dollar bill in there, that's weird, too. I mean, I've had keys disappear, and then you look, and then they're where you think you put them later, but they weren't there when you were looking. I mean, it's strange. It's like there's, you know, these ghosts or little mischief makers, and they're doing these little things. I'm calling the driver tomorrow to see if he ever got his envelope. Maybe it fell out of the car. There's no way it would have. But maybe somebody picked it up and mailed it for me. I have to rule that out. But you know, I think it's gone. It's in another dimension somewhere. Amber's in Seattle, Washington. Welcome to the program. Hi, Amber.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I just have a story to tell you. Some strange occurrences that happened to me a few years ago, and I just wanted to share it with you.
Sure.
Okay, so I had moved into a new place, and it was about a week from when I first started, you know, from when I first moved in, and I just started noticing strange things. My chair would be moved across the room. I would walk into the kitchen, and all the cabinets would be opened, and along with, you know, the drawers where I kept the silverware and everything. And then I started having really terrifying dreams. And dreams that felt so real to where it felt like I was awake. And one of the dreams I had, I don't even know if I was dreaming. I woke up and I looked to the left where my bathroom was, and I saw this, it was a creature standing there and hunched over. It was gray in color and just had a very, almost like I could feel a very evil presence. And I woke up, and it was very scary. And then another thing that happened is I woke up, and I knew I was awake this time, and I looked up at my fan. The light turned on, and then the fan was going at full speed. And then all of a sudden, there was a pigeon in the fan. And
a pigeon.
I heard it, a pigeon. It was a bird. And it was getting hit by the sand, and all the feathers were flying everywhere. I felt
Jeez.
The feathers coming down on my face. And then the bird, it flew at my face, And then right when it was about to hit my face, everything was gone. It's like nothing ever happened.
Wow, you must have freaked out on that one.
Yeah, I left the room. It was very scary. But as soon as the bird was about to hit my face, it was like time stopped, and the fan was still on, the light was on, but there was no bird. There was no feathers. There was no blood. Like, I saw the blood, you know, spraying on the walls and everything, and it's like it never happened, but I knew I was awake.
No dream. Really, you're sure it wasn't a dream?
I'm positive, because I felt myself wake up, but I couldn't move.
Sleep paralysis set in.
I couldn't move. And that same, another scary thing was my boyfriend at the time, it was after I saw that creature in my bathroom. We were sleeping, and he woke up because I got up and I kneeled, I got on my elbows, and I was looking at his face, and he looked at me, and he's like, "What are you doing?" And he said that in a voice that wasn't mine, I told him that I was going to kill him.
You said this to him.
I started laughing.
Oh, my God.
And when I woke up, I was laughing still, and I'm like, "Why am I laughing?" And he was like, "You just told me you were going to kill me in a voice that wasn't yours." And I was like, what are you talking about? And then shortly after, I moved out of that place for obvious reasons.
Wow. Did you ever find out if anybody was killed there or died?
I tried to find out, and I never found out if anybody was killed in that place or if there was anybody passed away. But the strangest thing is I've seen that creature two other times after that.
Where?
Once when I moved back to California, and another time at my friend's apartment.
This thing's following you.
That's what it sounds like. It's been years. I haven't had any other strange experiences like that. But, I mean, I had to tell a story because I didn't know that thing was following me.
Keep an eye out for it, Amber. That's weird. Next up, we've got Troy in Norfolk, Virginia. Hi, Troy. It's your turn on Coast to Coast.
Hey, George, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
All right, yeah, that missing Wallace story.
Man, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah. When I was, I think I was like 16, a friend of mine had opened up a bank account. Back then, they gave you little gifts for opening up. You put $25 in, and you get a gift where they gave him a silver goblet. And he said it on top of the mantle. We're on the floor, and he said, "Well, let's practice telekinesis." Stop trying to lift it. And so we sat there, stared at it. And what I saw was a ring of fire around the rim of the goblet, and then a being came out from the inside of it, looked up at me, and said, "You don't know what you're doing, and you're gonna be taught a lesson."
Whoa!
And I laughed at it, and just when I got ready to go, my wallet was gone. So we looked all around the apartment. They number three rooms in the whole apartment.
Yeah.
And 3 weeks went by, and I laid back down on the floor, the same place where I was at when I got up. My wallet was laying there right on the floor behind me.
Unbelievable. There's no way it could have stayed there for 3 weeks.
I don't know.
You would have found it. You would have found it that day.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
That is weird. These lost objects, they're playing with us. They're doing something. Modesto, California, Gina's turn on Coast to Coast. Hello, Gina.
Hi, how are you, George?
I'm wonderful.
I have a strange story. A friend of my husband passed away, and we had gone through his stuff, and I found his old POW bracelet. I had it up on my dresser, and then I couldn't find it the next day, and so I was talking to my daughter, who lives in Los Angeles, 300 miles away, and she said, "You know, the strangest thing, I found this POW bracelet in my trash can, and I have no idea where it came from." And it was this friend's POW bracelet.
Just appeared.
Just appeared in her trash can. No explanation whatsoever for it.
Here's a great story. Uri Geller, the mentalist, was telling me with Edgar Mitchell, the astronaut, Apollo 14, walked on the moon. And Mitchell had lost his NASA tie pin. Couldn't find it. It was gone. And one day he was getting together with Uri Geller. not in Mitchell's Place, just somewhere, some restaurant somewhere, and Geller was eating ice cream, and Mitchell's with him. All of a sudden, Geller feels something in his mouth, right? He takes a scoop of ice cream. He feels something really hard. He's, wow, what is this? He takes it out of his mouth. It's Edgar Mitchell's tie pin. Now, that's unbelievable. Unbelievable. How does this stuff happen? Where's my letter? Let's go to Barry in Rock Hills, east of the Rockies. Welcome to the show.
Hello there, George. It's Barry again. Good to talk to you.
I'm fine, Mr. North Carolina.
As a matter of fact, guess what today is, George?
Well, it's not my birthday yet.
That's right, but it's the day that you and I shook hands and gave each other a bear hug up at Charlotte, North Carolina.
I did not hug you.
You were there for the seminar, and then, of course, your birthday was, is it on the 4th or the 5th?
Fourth. Coming up on
right,
Thursday.
Thursday, then.
That's right. Gosh.
Anyway.
Been that long already.
How's that?
A year's gone already.
Yeah, 1 year already. I couldn't believe it because I remember it being your birthday almost when I met you. And then when I called Tommy a few minutes ago, I said, I got to get on just for a minute and say happy birthday to George.
Well,
and that's all
you.
I got to say. So just happy birthday, buddy. And great to talk to you. And always a pleasure.
You too, Barry. How was your year? Everything good for you?
The best I've had, George, in years. My surgery went great on my hip.
Good.
My mental attitude is doing great. I'm off the drugs, the painkillers. And I'm just tickled to death. Things are going good.
Good for you. You keep plugging away.
Thank you, buddy, and happy birthday, and I'll talk to you again next year.
You got it. Clicking by another birthday. I really don't celebrate birthdays too much. They just keep coming along. I can't believe we're in June. I just can't believe we're in June already. It's fastest year ever. We've got to do a show, Tommy, on speed of time. Something. But you know what's funny? I've talked to a lot of young people, kids in their 20s, young people in their 20s, and they too say that this is the fastest year they've ever experienced. And so it's not just with people who are getting up there in age. This is really, really buzzing by. It really is. So a couple program notes for you, by the way. I've got what I guess we could call a major announcement on Wednesday night. I'm going to announce it, and it's interesting. I think for a lot of you, you're going to truly, truly enjoy it. And for some of you, you may not even care, but it's pretty big. So we're going to be back in a moment. We'll take your final calls right here on Open Lines on Coast to Coast when we come back. Well, I can't believe it. I'm going to be in Vancouver, British Columbia this Saturday. Looking forward to that incredible event. And they've opened up another section of tickets, so they're available to you. What I want you to do is go to our website, wherever you may be. Take a trip. Have some fun. You got to have a passport, I guess, if you get into Canada. No more birth certificates. Things have changed. But they go up to our website. It's in the highlight reel, or you can click events at the top. And this is going to be at the Hard Rock Casino Theater in Vancouver. Three special guests, Robert Felix talking about ice ages, Rosemary Ellen Guiley on Ouija boards, and, of course, Richard Dolan on ufology. We'll talk about the slides that were released the last month, too, and get his reaction to that. Plus a full band there. We're going to have singing. It's going to be fun. So come on out. There are probably about 50 tickets left, so take advantage of that. And we're going to be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM with Final Phone Calls. Don't go away. Okay, welcome back to Coast and our open lines. We're going to go to our Skype line. We've got Ted in Korea. Ted, welcome to the program. Hope you are well.
I'm doing great. George, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Ted. What's up?
I was calling to tell you about, we were talking about Friday night, was it? The cat scratch disease.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. A lady went blind when a cat licked her eye.
Yeah, you know, I have some experience with that, but I didn't go blind. I have fever.
Yep. A lot of people get that, too.
Yeah.
Did you shake it?
You know, the first time I got it, I was just 10 years old. I got it from some kitty next door. I went to the doctor, and he gave me the cure. I think I'd like it some more.
I know that song. Where are you? He's gone. Skype works. When it works well. Let's go to Buck, Limestone, West Virginia. Hey, Buck, you're up.
Hey, George, listen, I don't know if you've ever heard of this or not. I just heard about it for the first time today.
All right.
Well, and it's called the Mandela Effect. Have you ever heard of that?
I have not. And I assume it's after Nelson Mandela, right?
Right. And supposedly what this is it's kind of a quantum physics thing. I don't know if Michio would be mad at me for not being up on string theory, but where time keeps skipping planes because there's people that absolutely swear that they were in prison. I'm not just talking one or two. A lot of people were in prison when Nelson Mandela was in prison, and he died in prison. And yet, as you know, he just died, a couple years
ago? Yeah, he didn't die in prison. He came out. No, he ended up being the president of South Africa.
Well, I know, but that's what's weird about it. These people absolutely swear to it. And then there's a kid's book called Berenstain Bears, and kids will swear that whenever they were kids in the library, they read it in school, it was Berenstain Bears, and now it's going by Berenstain Bears. And things of this nature. And those are just the two that I heard of, but there are other things that people say that actually have skipped over time. Like, you see what I'm saying?
Well, is it like a time warp thing, where they're
apparently something on that order, like the time is skips planes, and I don't really understand it. Of course, of all my sources, I think Coast to Coast is the best. And I thought for sure maybe that you'd heard of it.
I'll check out the Mandela Effect. I never put it together with time, so we'll check into it. Might be worth a story. As a matter of fact, it's for people who are baffled by alternative memories. It's strange, including Nelson Mandela's death in the 1980s, long before his 2013 passing. That's what it says. That's weird. He did not die in the 1980s, though some people remember that he did. Let us go next to Los Angeles. Ann's turn, west of the Rockies. Ann, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call and early happy birthday to the other man.
Thank you.
Well, I know I won't get in Thursday, and I was wondering if you heard anything about tonight. Well, there's three things that happened during this weekend, and it seems like everything comes in threes and bunches. Something about the United States military releasing a flying saucer tonight?
They are going to test a flying saucer.
Uh-huh. With a parachute, right?
With a parachute, I think.
That sounds so weird. Because
maybe that's what people have been seeing over the years. Huh?
That's what I thought. I said, no, there goes another Roswell. I think it's just a ruse. First they tell us no more NSA phone monitoring. And then they say, oh, the TSA is doing a lousy job at the airport. Oh, thank you. And then this, but the other two things were from history, and it's going to change again in history books. Did you hear about the things that they found, tools used by humans in Kenya, and they send them, I think, to England? I believe that's what they said, because, you know, I have a lot of neighbors that are really noisy. I hear part of them.
And they were like 500,000 years old or something?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and they said they had to be tools. They were made either for cutting and doing things, you know. It couldn't be made by apes or anything. It was human-made. And the other thing was 3.3 million-year-old mammoth bones that now changes the whole specter of what we thought the animals had died a certain time.
I think everything is much older than they
I do, too.
Even us, probably.
I think we don't even exist. But there is a mummy. I've never heard anybody. You've had several guests with mummies. There's a mummy that they found over in the steppe in the Russian area. And it's 10,000 years old, and it's beautiful. It's a woman. The people that were looking for these mummies, several mummies they found, different ones, the Capacocha over in Peru and so forth. But this one was 10,000 years old. Her skin was soft to the touch. Her eyes were just like yours and mine. She had tattoos all over. What they were looking for was a lead to follow if there ever existed the Amazon women, and they found it there. And she was buried in a huge crate about as large as a bedroom. And the crate also, she was on a horse, mounted on a horse, had three gold arrows in the little carriage the chief carried it with, and all her hair, her eyelashes. But the strange thing was that her skin was almost a bluish tint and soft to the touch. It was just a beautiful thing. And the
10,000-year-old mummy?
Yes, and that the people that were doing this program was on PBS about, I'd say, at least 15 years ago.
How did they preserve her?
Well, it was in this box, buried. It was buried under the ground.
Yeah, but still, I mean, something, they must have injected her with some chemical or something.
They said that the thing that mummified her was totally different to the mummifications of the other mummies they had found. The ones in South America had a lot of that red berries that had the Capacocha Indians all full of red stuff. That's what they had. The mummies in Egypt were different. But each mummy was totally preserved differently. But hers, and they said this is odd because she had tattoos all over her. And she was big. I hope you get to ever find this thing. Try to see it. It was called...
How big was she?
As big as we are, I mean, like a human being, and the horse was the normal size, but she was just, it was like, you know what it looked like? It didn't even look real. And they were shocked because they didn't want to touch it or anything. They tried to preserve it. I don't know who got this, who got to keep it because it was in a step. So probably Russia has it, I'm sure.
We'll check into that.
A long time ago.
Lots of stories coming up this way. Hey, I like doing open lines every once in a while like this. Maybe we'll do more of this. Let's go next to Gary in Houston, Texas. Welcome to the program, Gary.
Thank you, George. Check your suit real good for that letter.
Okay.
What I think we've lost is what our founding fathers gave us, and I'm really worried about, you know, what we're leaving our children. And now is the time. You know, we've got a year coming up. We need to change our leadership. And you know, there's no politician that gets prosecuted for anything. My goal is to just make people aware that if you're a Democrat, you're not going to have anything taken away from you. We've got to put some people in there that are just honest. And that's what we've lost, and I hope we find it.
I hope we do, too. I can't believe how many Republicans are trying to get the nomination. My God, the list just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. If you have a lot of candidates and they all hit the primaries and none of them get the amount of delegates they need, that's going to be one heck of a convention because they'll have to vote, negotiate. In the convention, it's like old-time politics all over again. We go to Eric in Portland, Oregon. Welcome to the program, Eric. You're up with us.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing. My pleasure.
Some videos on YouTube where people are saying that once you get to a certain ranking in the Freemasons that they encourage you to convert to Islam. And I was just wondering that, like, since the Freemasons play a role in the New World Order and founding that, and the lack of effort to stop people like ISIS, I was wondering if there's a connection between the Freemasons and ISIS, maybe, and if the New World Order will possibly be an Islamic world order.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but I let me tell you about this. I saw a picture today of some members of ISIS going down a road in Iraq, cheering with their black flag, and every vehicle was like a brand new pickup truck or SUV. Every one. It must have been a mile long. Who sells them these? Boy, there's got to be some car salesman out there who's got one heck of a commission. How do they do this? There's something weird going on here. You know, we had a guest on last week who believes that ISIS has been created by people, by governments, to disrupt. And they're being funded. I mean, I got to tell you, with all these drones out there, you mean to tell me you can't take out a whole column of these cars and trucks with all of them cheering? They're like convertible trucks. They're all standing up in the back, waving. It's weird. CW in Chattanooga, Tennessee. You're on Coast to Coast, CW. Go ahead.
Hey, George, not only are we all laboring under the influence of this full moon that you mentioned, but we're also deep in the heart of Mercury retrograde. I'm sure you've heard that phrase before.
I sure have.
And we've got that. One of the things I've noticed about this Mercury retrograde cycle is that I can't find things, just like you. And it makes me feel crazy when I can't find something.
Well, because you know you put it somewhere.
Right, right. And plus, we all like to think we have control, which is, of course, an illusion. But anyway, we try. And the thing is that when you stop trying to find it with this retrograde, which lasts, by the way, until June the 11th, which means we're in this period until then. And then there's a shadow period that they talk about. It goes on for 3 weeks after that. So really, the whole month of June is going to be a test of patience for all of us, you know. But I just wanted to mention that. So, and you had a guest on, I guess it's been 2 or 3 months ago, who was talking about the mischievous creatures that might be doing this to us to test us or whatever,
mm-hmm.
or for fun and jolly. And her suggestion was to go around with your clothes on inside out. Well, I actually tried that.
I am not going to go out with my clothes inside out.
I didn't think I could talk you into that this time. No. But the other thing I wanted to mention to you is there are times when I'm listening to you, which I do every night, and I'm a big fan, and you remind me of Jimmy Durante.
You think so?
I do, and it's just so funny because you'll say something, and I just absolutely crack up. And I'm like, oh, my God, you sound like Jimmy Durante.
What do you mean I sound? Jimmy Durante had that funny sound to him. I don't sound like that.
Yeah, but the words you use and the way you're timing.
Hello, CW. Like, welcome to the show.
I know, but it's like the comedian in you comes out, and I'm like, George, not only do you need to sing, you need to do comedy.
Well, I did that at the Joshua Tree this weekend at the Contact in the Desert. And, it was funny. It was probably one of my most targeted ones.
And the other thing, I've got something about the demon thing, but I don't know if you've got time.
I got 40 seconds for you.
Oh, it's not enough time to explain.
Okay,
it.
Well, do it another time.
Thank you so much for making me laugh.
You're welcome. Jimmy Durante, I sound like him? I'll be seeing you. Well, I do sound like a little when I go into my routine, but that's not normally me. And I don't have his nose. Annie, Alabama. The last time we talked, Danny, you were looking for $3 million. Did you ever find it?
Well, George, once you're a victim of identity theft and the money's gone and the man that stole it is dead, no lawyer's going to help you. I mean, I've heard of at least 100, not 1,000, but close to 100 lawyers say, sorry, you don't have a case. In other words, they've all looked at it.
I mean, they've all said
money
no case.
Up front. You don't have any money to pay up front, so you don't have a case.
I bet I could find you a lawyer who'll do it for a percent.
Well, they're not going to get the money back. They might get it back, and they might not.
If they do, they're going to be very rich. They'll take a third. So they'll take $1 million of your three.
I'll entertain any idea.
And Tom, you'll take the other $1 million for finding the lawyer. I know him.
Anyway, I think the best thing to do is just set up one of those accounts on Kickstarter about my bird sanctuary, because if I don't get some donations for the bird sanctuary, my house is going to be condemned because it's all in one piece of property.
Well, all right. Well, you get it going on Kickstarter. Send us a little link, and then we'll get rolling for you. We'll put that up. We've got a friend of ours. Maybe I'll mention it this week. She wants a cat sanctuary in Los Angeles, and she's a friend of ours. The guy, his name's Mike. He looks just like Jim Morrison, spitting image. As a matter of fact, he was one of our emerging artists. But his girlfriend is a professional wrestler. She don't look like. She did not look like a wrestler, trust me, because I don't know what a female wrestler is supposed to look like. But that's what she wants to do. She wants a cat sanctuary. She rescues cats. So we've got time for another call or two. We've got Sally in Denver, first-time caller. Sally.
George, how are you?
Good.
Good. Have I got my radio too close or anything? No.
No, you sound good.
Okay, good.
A little scratchy phone, but that's okay.
I'll stop moving.
Okay, don't move. Don't breathe.
Never mind that. Okay, about the Torah, you know, George, I think you're in it because you answered the call to keep awake in expectation. That's what I think.
Well, this was done a long time ago.
Yes, well, that's what I think. Okay, so we were talking about entities. That gentleman you had on, he was just so wonderful.
I liked him.
Yes, I do too. I work in feng shui.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you know, you could say it's cleaning. You could say it's cleaning on three different levels, you know, physical and emotional and spiritual, right?
You go into houses, though, you know exactly what to do.
I absolutely go into people's houses. Okay,
yeah.
So it's a feng shui practice, but you end up cleaning the house. Okay, you really do. Because
that works.
You can't go around. What?
It works.
Yes, it does. It absolutely does. I've been studying it a long time. Anyway, so in my practice, some of the things they like, entities, some of the things entities like, I want to reiterate, they like blood, old dried blood. They like dirt. They like clutter.
Yuck.
They like all the things he mentioned. I just wanted to reiterate that.
That's a mess. Why do they like that stuff?
Because they're demons, just like the man said. This is what they feed off of. So the less clutter you have and the more cleanliness you have in your life and mentally on a different level entirely, you call it emotional, you could call it mental.
Well, you're right on. Feng Shui works, by the way. Hey, we're out of time already. Wow, but we're going to do this again tomorrow. Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.